How many of you were here last Sunday night? How many of you were here Sunday morning? Okay, for those of you that weren't here last Sunday night, you're excused for the next 10 minutes until Gary begins to speak. I was here last Sunday night. Very seldom do I get to come. Lord began to speak to me earlier in the day and said, "You will be there tonight. You will be there tonight. You will be there tonight." Bottom line of it is, all of the activities taking place, all of you are very busy with your activities, but we made it. Okay? So if you were here last Sunday night, I have a question to ask you. And that is, how many times have you read Ephesians this week? How many times? What? How many times have you, Rick? Okay. Okay. I'm not going to point to anybody else. Very seldom am I in a service that I feel as though that I have to add to what's brought forth the prayer center. Very seldom. It's so complete. It's so pure. It's so peaceable. It's so easy to be understood, etc., etc., etc. But last Sunday night when Gary said that, I'll say something went off inside of me. And it was the only thing that I could think about the rest of his service. When I walked out the door, the Lord said, "You need to do something about this." Okay. It happened one time before when a prophecy came forth, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, in regards to the attack that was coming and the preparation it was going to require every individual to win that attack. And he gave us complete instructions on how to win it. Those that followed the instructions won, and those that did not follow the instructions did not win. They're not winning today, and they never won through the battle. At the prayer center, and everybody that speaks at the prayer center, without exception, okay, are speaking from a position of a helper of your joy. You cannot find a message nor an event that's ever taken place where they have tried to take dominion over you and tried to force you to do something. I'll give you one scripture. There's many, but in 2 Timothy 2:24, I'll read this. Okay? "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." We know it was Paul writing to Timothy, who was a pastor, so he was not talking about the world. He was not talking about the unconverted. He was talking about the body of Christ that Timothy was over. And he was saying, "Listen, Timothy, you will not strive. And you will teach in meekness." If you take those character qualities and those verses, it fully describes Dave and Gary, etc., etc., etc. No need to go through all that. Okay. So, I left last week, Monday morning. The Lord took me to a website that I could freely download Ephesians. Audio format. Okay. I printed out Ephesians on a sheet of paper. I like to print both the King James and also the Amplified, and I like to read them both. Okay. So tonight, they're somewhere over here. I brought 50. Okay. It will probably be the last time that we do it all for you. it'll be the last time that we do all the work. It took me 20 minutes. So if you have a computer, very easy to go out and find a website. Very easy to download it. Okay? Very easy to put it on your MP3, etc. If you don't have it, okay, you can read it. Okay? I did that Monday morning. It takes 21 minutes and 47 seconds, something like that, to listen to Ephesians all the way through. That's three times an hour. That's 30 times in 10 hours that you can listen to it. How many times do you think I've listened to it since Monday at noon? I've listened to it less than an hour. Less than an hour of my life this last week, with all those tools in my life, knowing how important it is to do it, I still have only listened to it less than an hour. So I'm not standing up here as a pro or as someone that's done it. I'm standing up here as someone that says, the enemy, your flesh, whatever you want to call it, does not want you to listen or read Ephesians. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Gary. But I do know this one thing. At the end of this year, if you have not done this, you'll be right where you are right today. And I say that in all meekness, all gentleness, whatever. My recommendation is that you find someone who loves you, and I mean really loves you, to the point that they'll correct you. It was Monday afternoon that Gary sent me an email. No, it was Tuesday morning, early in the morning, I think. That he sent me an email that said, look up this site, look up this address. It had to do with a man from Charisma who writes articles for Charisma, and he wrote about the book of Joshua. It was so interesting that he says, you probably already have this, you probably get this, so, but I'm still sending it to you. Okay. Yeah, I got it with about X number of more emails. I looked at who wrote it, looked at it come from Charisma, and I just deleted it. Okay. But because of Gary's obedience and the Lord's faithfulness, he knew that I'd listen to Gary's voice more than I would listen to this guy's voice, and he went through the book of Joshua and said, you know, here's all that he's learned, 7 or 8 steps. Okay. And if you remember last week, Gary said that Joshua was the image of Ephesians, or it was the pattern, you know, etc. So, okay, Lord, I agree with that. I've already got Ephesians. I'm already going to do it, etc. 2 days later, someone in our body emailed Gary and had listened to last Sunday night and said, Gary, isn't it amazing that I asked the Lord what book I was supposed to begin to meditate and digest the beginning of the year, and he gave me the book of Ephesians. So something for the prayer center, something for the family of the prayer center, something for the people that are doing the message at the prayer center. Okay. To remain in the group of the fast, and not become a group or part of the group that are slower. You know this. You know what he's told us over and over again. The slow will go slower. The fast will go faster. He's literally, at before the beginning of this year, he put on us the ability to run faster because he's told us to do Ephesians. So whenever I'm looking at you all throughout the year, the first thing I'm, not the first thing, we can have fun with this, but, you know, how many times have you done Ephesians? I mean, it's, you know, we do not have thus far any other orders. Pastor Dave this morning, I'm looking for, okay, Father, what are you telling us? What are you telling us? What are you about to tell us? I've already told you. I've already told you. Now, I know that Gary had a dream. He sent me an email. I have an iPhone now. I pulled up in the driveway, and it showed me that I had an email this morning. So I click it, you know, trying to learn how to use the thing. Okay. Okay. I was able to read Gary's email that he sent to me about 6 o'clock this morning, and he had a dream. Okay. It all had to do with Ephesians. So it seems as though the Lord is very single-minded for this short season for us to get within us His desire for whatever is in Ephesians for each one of us to know. And it's going to probably be different, yet it's going to be equal, or yet it's going to bring unity that we all begin to operate in the book of Ephesians. So, peace.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You will tell me thank you sincerely if when you do it. When you do it. I wasn't ashamed, but when it was yesterday, I actually started to listen to it again yesterday because I knew that the Lord was going to have me come here tonight, and I knew that I only had listened to it once. I had it in my CD player in the car. I probably was in my car with the traveling I had to do last week, maybe 20 hours. But I chose to do something different than to just hit the start button and listen to this thing in the background. Okay? Now you can tell me the devil was fighting me. I understand he's supposed to be defeated. How much power does he have? It was I made choices not to listen to it, to do other things. I didn't listen to anything else. Okay. Peace.
Hallelujah. That's priceless.
Open up to the book of Ephesians. For those of you that were not here last Sunday night, what Tim was talking about there, the first instruction of the year is just do what Dave's been after us to do anyway for the last however many years, and to assimilate the New Testament. But our specific assignment is to assimilate the book of Ephesians. And that's 30 times. Read it a minimum of 30 times and or listen to it. I've been doing what Tim said. I had a different version of audio, and so I've been listening to it on my iPod. Got a little speaker thing in the bathroom where I can hook it up while I'm spritzing my hair. Not that it does any good, but while I'm spritzing my hair and whatever. You know, this is as good as it gets right here. This is it. But I've been listening to it, and I've probably only managed to maybe three times audio, two or three times audio this week. I don't know how many times I keep trying to meditate and I get caught in the thoughts, you know. You know, I'm supposed to just read it all the way through. But that's the assignment. That's what he's talking about. So however you need to get it into you, you know, audio, written format, both. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you again, because not everybody has heard this part, what started this, at least how the Lord got me on this, is I just got madder in the dickens about losing Michelle Dreyer. And I know that it was not the Lord's will that she go home at this time. She has way too much to do. And we all did everything that we knew to do. And she didn't want to go home, so you can't use that. Now maybe once she saw Jesus, it might have changed. Okay. Once they see Jesus, now I think everything changes, okay? But in the beginning, I know she sure didn't. And I don't really think it was the Lord's will. And we weren't able to stop that from happening. So I started seeking the Lord about it again. So what in the world? Well, he reminded me, I was teaching on the believer's authority right after that. Because the problem is we weren't able to take authority over it. And so I listened to some old messages that I had first heard maybe a quarter of a century ago. And the Lord told me in that, because he was teaching primarily out of Ephesians, not completely, but the main teaching was in Ephesians. And the Lord told me plain, I gave you this answer 25 years ago, but you don't believe it. And it's not anywhere else. It's it's not hidden somewhere. It's already there, but you're going to have to possess the land. You know it's there. You can quote it, but that's not the same as living it. So I started, here we go. If that's where it is, let's get in there. And even though those messages, I started listening to them again, but that's not really the key. That just kind of gets you started. The key is the Word of God itself. The Word of God itself. So I just have been going back through there, reading it again and again. Now, I know I'm on the right track because I started getting these second witnesses. One from who he's talking about is J. Lee Grady. And he has an email article that comes out free from Charisma. It's called Fire in My Bones. And you may or may not agree with him. Most of the time I do. And my middle daughter, Angie, she reads them and says, Daddy, are you and this guy joined at the hip? We see things alike very much of the time. But he's doing a study in the parallel book to Ephesians in the Old Testament, which is Joshua. And I'm going to get into, we're going to take tonight just showing you basically why I say that those two books are parallel. And you might want to start, it wouldn't hurt you to study, if you're going to read anything else during this time period, I'd recommend the book of Joshua. Because it is the parallel book, okay? So if you want to get that, it's called Fire in My Bones. It's a free email. That particular one, he's talking about the book of Joshua. Now, I'm not saying everything the man ever writes I endorse, so okay. He may not. Well, for tonight, now, let's go ahead with the study in Ephesians. We only have about 30 minutes here, okay? I want you to look at Ephesians 6 first as to why we say that it's parallel books. This is a real familiar passage. Almost everybody can quote this passage where we're talking about put on the whole armor of God and all of that. But he makes a statement here comparing his message with the Old Testament saints in the book of Joshua. So he starts here in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. And he says, finally, my brethren, he's starting to sum up everything that he said. We're going to go back in these next few weeks and look at everything he said in this book. But he's summing it up here. And he says, now, like in conclusion, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now what's he talking about there? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. He's making a comparison between us and the Old Testament saints in the book of Joshua as they went to possess the land. They did wrestle against flesh and blood. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and all the other ites that were in the land, their warfare was with those people. Our warfare is not with human beings. Boy, if the church ever got that straight, that would settle a lot right there, you know, okay? But our warfare is against these principalities and powers, these demonic forces in the power of the air. But can you see that correlation there? Now, because of the way this has been taught, even myself, it just dawned on me in this past week. You know, normally when we teach this, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt. When we teach that, normally we teach it from a defensive posture. What I mean by that is like, this is what you do when the devil attacks. This is what you do. But if it's the New Testament corollary to the book of Joshua, honey, there ain't nothing defensive about the book of Joshua. They have come to possess the land. And if you are in the way, you're going to die. We're going to take yours. We're going to take it in the name of God because He has given it to us. There is this warfare, even though we've normally taught it like, this is what you do in that evil day. Have you confessed? Have you fasted? Have you, He's come to attack you. Well, I'm not saying don't do those things. But that's not the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is about, we've come to possess the land. Now, first off, he's talking about your land. He's talking about everything that is the life and nature of Christ that we don't yet possess. I was saying today, the life of Christ in me has never overeaten food yet. However, you'll notice, I have. And there's a warfare there, see? But the warfare is his nature conquering more of me, or you could turn it around the other way and say me possessing more of the life of Christ. Either way you say it. But see, as that happens in us, as that transformation takes place, which is 2 Corinthians 3:18, as that takes place in us, eventually it gets beyond you and your land, and it gets to, what about your neighbor? Do they know the Lord? What about government? What about the movies? What about everything? You start your influence, and boy, does our nation need that. You know what that's called? That's called revival. That's where the life of Christ goes beyond my four and no more. And it starts... this land needs to be possessed once again for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to become warriors. I mean, you can tell that the devil has launched an all-out assault against this country that was founded. I mean, the pilgrims came here. I don't care what they say. They came here to establish a land where they could worship God in peace and not be controlled by government or anybody else. They came here to establish a country founded on the Bible and Jesus Christ. And the devil is doing everything he can in this generation that we're living in right now to take that away. Well, we are here to stop him. And we're going to go on the offensive, I'm telling you. We're going to find out what's in this book about our authority and what's really happened. And think about this. You know, what would any enemy say? Well, who are you? Who do you think you can come and take my land? Who do you think you are? Who gave you such authority? Who gave you such power? Well, what did they... The whole... Notice here... look at verse 10 again. Look at verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Does it say anything about you being strong? No, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The whole problem with that first bunch is they would go in and spy out the land, and sure enough, boy, there's giants in the land. There's strongholds in the land. They're warlike people, and we be like grasshoppers in their sight, and we be not able to possess the land. They weren't strong in Jehovah and in the power of His might. They were comparing those enemies out there with their own strength. Well, if we go to war in our own strength, we're going to lose. That's why he says here, God had already told them, you go forward, I will fight for you. The battle is the Lord's. I will fight for you. I will drive them out before thy face. I'll send my angel ahead of you. Drive these enemies out. Does that mean it was a piece of cake and they could just sit there and eat grapes in the shade of the tree while God went and fought the battle? You know, I think sometimes the church, we want to set up a grandstand on this side of the Jordan, look over into the promised land, get our popcorn and our soda pop, and go, get them, God. I've come to enjoy the show. Well, it's not quite like that. But it is His strength, it is His power, it is His might flowing through us. Now that means that when they spit, they're going to spit at you. When they hate, they're going to hate you. When they mark up your key, your car, or whatever they do, it's going to be at you, see? But it's still, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we've got to get this on this authority. Now, yes, sir. This is going to take a while. We're not going to teach all of this tonight. Yes, sir. We'll just look at it. Let's look at parallel number one. I want you to go back to the book of Joshua for just a moment. Let's look at the first instruction. What you got to know is that Moses, up until this point, who's been the leader? It's been Moses. Moses, just so you'll know it, is a type of Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is this. You say, well, no, he was a type of the law. Well, he brought the law. The New Testament tells us that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But still yet, he's a type of Christ. And the reason I say that is this. Israel, the whole nation, was in bondage. All of God's people were born in slaves. They'd been in slavery for over 400 years. So everybody there was born a slave. See, that's the whole human race. We're all born in slavery to sin. We're born with that sin nature. So God sends a man, a deliverer. He does all of the work through that one man. All of the miracles in Pharaoh's court, everything that was done through that one man. And eventually won the battle. And if you wanted to be free, what was the command? Moses is going, I'm going to cross over there. If you want to be free and get out of Egypt, follow me. Is that not a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? He did all of the work. All of the miracles was done through him. Israel could not do anything to save themselves. We cannot do anything really to save ourselves. It's all based on the finished work of one man. Moses was a type of Jesus Christ. Well, if he's a type of Christ, and the torch gets passed to Joshua, now who's Joshua a type of? Joshua's a type of the church. Because Jesus said, all power in heaven, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore you go. You go, and in my name, whatever you command, whatever you say in my name, that's what I'll do. Isn't that right? So they had authority from the lawgiver, authority from Moses passed down. And let's look at it here. We'll just start in chapter 1 of Joshua. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now, this verse 5 is very important. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Type and shadows. Moses is a type of Jesus. Joshua is a type of the church. How would you phrase that for the church? There shall no devil be able to stand before thee. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. So to us, he would say, there shall no devil be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Jesus, so I will be with thee. See, that's why he gave us the same Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that came to enforce dominion and power when Jesus would speak. He said, now you are going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Well, is he supposed to enforce dominion to the same degree or some lesser degree? We've come in whose name? Boy, y'all are really quiet tonight, see? We've come in the name of Christ. It's the name of Jesus. They were coming across that in the name of God. It's God that gave us this land. Well, it's Jesus who purchased this authority for us, and then he gave that authority to the church. Half-hearted warfare will get you killed. Half-hearted warfare. I'll tell you again about my friend years ago, who in my presence said all the right things. And I was teaching him confession, and whenever I was, and it was a serious case. It was cancer, and it was serious cancer, we knew. And he was a spirit-filled Christian and had some knowledge in this. So, boy, we'd practice together, and we'd come up with scriptures. And whenever I was with him, you know, he would say the right thing. So I thought things were, being okay. Well, come to find out later, see, I thought he was walking the floor and confessing the word. I found out later that he did die. I told you, and most of you have heard this, just in case you haven't, first off, he was a military man. Boy, his funeral was one of the most elaborate funerals I have ever seen. They had a 21-gun salute. They had the military come and how they fold that flag. I mean, it's very, very impressive, you know. They had the bagpipes. You know, I mean, it was everything. I said, man. And after the funeral, I'm talking with his wife, and I said, boy, Jake, really? Really? I mean, no, I said, boy, you really planned a nice funeral for Jake. He said, oh, I didn't plan any of this. He planned all of this. He arranged for all of this. Now, he's making funeral arrangements the whole time. And then I found out after that, he wasn't walking the floor and confessing the word when I wasn't with him. He's watching Gunsmoke. Can you imagine World War II? You're in, there's the enemy. He's coming to kill you. You're in some kind of a foxhole. Here comes the tank, and you're down in the foxhole watching Gunsmoke. This is, and I'm not picking on him. I'm picking on me. I'm picking on you. I'm picking on the whole church. We're sitting around in the trenches watching Gunsmoke while the enemy's trying to destroy our country. trying to and kill people, right? Just take them right out from under us. And here we're half-hearted playing war. Most of us aren't even half-hearted very much. Well, I'm telling you what, things are going to have to change. Things are going to, you know, we are, I'm tired of losing them. I'm tired of it. And I think the Lord is more than tired of it. And that's just the beginning. We got, see, I just want to stop the bleeding right now. Let's just get that stopped. But then we got to turn the tide. We got a nation to win back to God.
Hallelujah.
If you think this is still a Christian nation, we got, it's really not. I don't believe it's a Christian nation anymore. And we've got to win it back now. We've got to go take the land. Okay? All right? Now see, I just read that and I know I could tell by your reaction it's relatively new to you. As I was with Jesus, so I will be with thee. No devil will ever be able to stand before thee. Okay? But see, that's true because of the power of His might. Not because you're such a hot rod. It's because of His might. That's what Israel had to know, but that first group couldn't even possess the land because they could not trust that God would do His part. You know? They said, no, we're not even going to try. We're not going to go. We're not able. Well, they're looking at themselves. And what we've got to look at is, what has God said? Has He given us the land? Now, back to hold your place in Joshua. Go back to Ephesians for a minute. Well, we looked at this the first couple of nights in Ephesians chapter 1. No, excuse me, chapter 1. And this is that prayer that Paul is praying for the church. He would be praying the same thing for us today as he did then. He'd be praying for the church at Tulsa. And starting in verse 16, he'd say, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I love how that is worded. Our understanding right now apparently is darkened. And he says, no, you need to have light brought to your mind. Light brought to the part of you so that you can see. Okay, well, what is it, Paul? That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and, meaning He isn't done yet, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? And it's interesting. Usward who believe? Usward who what?
Believe.
Believing is going to be involved in this, not just head knowledge. Usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him down at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So He's seated in heavenly places. I don't have any trouble seeing Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, do you? And seated there, He is not just above, but far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Is cancer, would cancer be included there? If His name is above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come, wouldn't cancer be in there? It has to be in there. All right? Okay, all right. So Jesus has all this authority. He has all this power. I don't have any trouble with that. I can see Him seated there. And if it just ended right there or went on to another chapter, we'd be, it's nice that Jesus has it. It's really good that He has all that authority. But if you come right on down, chapter 2, you just come right on down. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. From God's point of view, we are seated right there with Him. And besides that, if we went back, we're His body. It says the fullness of Him that fills all in all. We're covering the whole earth. It's His body is us. It helps me to do this. He has no lips to preach the gospel except ours. That helps, doesn't it? You can see that. On planet Earth, He has no lips but ours. He has to find somebody willing to go, somebody willing to talk, Somebody willing to give the lips. When they preach the gospel, it's Him preaching through them. He is the Word. He has no hands to lay on the sick but ours. If the anointing's not going to flow through our hands, it's not going to get done. He doesn't have any other hands but the hands of His body. We have authority in the same... If the head has that authority, the body has that authority. And we're amening. You're not disagreeing with me. I'm not disagreeing with this. Trouble is, when I pray, it don't happen. Huh? Shandai my Hyundai, you know. Was that? Should have bought a Honda, but about a Hyundai, you know. So, well, what's the cure for that? That takes us to Matthew 17, where the disciples had authority over sickness and disease. Jesus had already sent them out. They've already had victories and seen people healed and cast devils out. But then next comes this one. The Bible says lunatic boy. Modern science, you know, they think it might have been epilepsy, but it was something that made him have fits. It would throw him on the ground and throw him in the fire and throw him in the water. In other words, the manifestations were real bad. And maybe that's what affected their faith. I don't know. But they prayed and did everything that they'd ever done. Acted on the authority and what they knew to do. And they couldn't get that boy free. And boy, Jesus, when the father went to Jesus, when Jesus showed up, didn't he pat him on the back and say, "Well, boys, at least you tried." Was that his attitude? He says, "How long am I going to put up with you? How is it that you have no faith? Bring that boy here to me." And in short order, he cast that devil out. Now see, that does away forever with that excuse that the church has used for years. It's just not always His will. No, it was His will when the disciples prayed. It was the Father's will to get him free. I'm telling you, it was the Father's will that Michelle live on. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe if Bernard was here, he'd say it too. And Michelle was here, she'd say it too. Okay? So when they asked Jesus privately after the crowd had dispersed, "Why didn't it happen when we prayed? We saw it happen when you prayed." And he just plainly tells them. He said, "Because of your unbelief." Man, that's hard. That's hard. Because of your unbelief. He didn't say because it was such a big devil. You think there's some devil that's not under the dominion of Jesus? Come on. Well, that's a big bad devil here. No, he's saying, no, it's because the whole problem was the unbelief. When he says, "This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting," the church I grew up in said it was this kind of devil. No, it's not that kind of devil. It's that kind of unbelief. Doesn't go out except by prayer and by fasting. That's one of the reasons. I know he's bringing this together, this book of Ephesians, at the same season as our fasting time. So anyway, that's why this assignment has come now. Now he's starting to give me dreams out of the book of Ephesians. I don't want to get into that tonight. There's just no time. We'll do it another night and do it justice, okay? Or another time. But that's another witness to me, though, that we're on the right path. Another witness to me. Okay? Well, it was... Oh. I'm getting... Okay. All right. I'm just going to start it, though. I'll give you 10 minutes, all right. I wish I'd have printed that out and brought it. I've only written it once. And this only happened... it was like yesterday. It was like yesterday. Oh, you've got it. Well, can you open a Word document on that thing? I sent it to you in Word format. I don't know if you can... Oh, man. You're scaring me now. Okay, this is dated January 3rd, so what's today, the 4th? It's yesterday. So I'll just read you what I've got here. This technology is getting to be something else. Said, "I had a dream last night. I don't remember the details of the dream, and apparently the details are not important. But what is important is the ending of the dream. Very vividly, I heard the words, quote, 'The answer is Ephesians 5:14. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. I'll read it to you in a minute. I heard it so clear that the sound of it woke me up at 6 a.m. Now, I made a mental note not to forget it, and then I fell back asleep. Later, when I woke up, the first thing I did was to look up the verse, because I don't know them by chapter and verse. Well, here it is, Ephesians 5:14 out of the King James. Normally, when I preach this verse, I preach it about unbelievers. He says, "Wherefore he saith," this is the answer now, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now this speaks to me personally very clearly. Ever since we finished the project of converting all the teachings into MP3 format and making them available for free at the website and via the DVD, I have been somewhat, quote, adrift, talking about me personally. I've done a few important things, such as help several ministries also convert their teachings into digital format and getting them on the internet. And then there's been a few other things that I've been doing, mainly the teaching at the prayer center and only 1 2-week ministry trip to Korea. But I've had no clear direction from the Lord about the next phase of our ministry. I just really don't know. I don't have a focus other than just pray and revival. But my part, I haven't had it clear. So, I lost my place here. It would be accurate to say I have been in a state of slumber because of the lack of clear direction. Anyone ever get like that? But knowing the Lord as I do, such a time as that is never His fault. It's because I grew weary in well-doing that I simply slid back into old patterns of lethargy spiritually. Said in prayer center terminology... I didn't know I'd be reading this to the church. Said in prayer center terminology, I fell out of prayer for the most part. My prayer life these past few years have been nothing like it was in those early days. Quiet in here now. Nobody's breathing. Now, it doesn't mean completely, but compared to, you might as well say completely, compared to the way it was in those early days. Well, now He is clearly calling me out of that slumbering state of existence. I am to awake from this state of semi-death by seeking Him with all of my heart once more. As I do, I now have this precious promise. Christ shall give me light. He will give me the next step, so I'll have clear direction to focus upon. Notice the next few verses in the passage, and I'll read them to you. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says, now once you awake from the dead and Christ gives you light, then it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Doesn't that fit? Doesn't that fit perfectly? So here I am again. I say, I have been a fool for the past couple of years, wasting much of my time on evil days of simply living without clear direction from my Lord. I've been adrift, asleep, wasting way too much time just existing instead of overcoming. The days we live in are truly evil. It is so easy to spend our days in simple matters that have no eternal value, rather than to seek the Lord until His heart beats in ours, until His mind controls ours, and until His life flows through our mortal flesh. What is the Lord's will? Well, I'm no longer confused. It is His will that I awake and rise from the dead to seek Him until I find His clear direction for the next phase of His life for me. Like Lazarus, Jesus has called me to come forth from the dead. Gary has risen. You do know that most of us, you know, Alan, the things Alan says and that Dave lets you know and the things that I let you know, pride wouldn't have let us do that years ago. You know, it's too important to us to look good in your eyes, you know. But the Holy Ghost will kill that kind of thing. And what becomes important, you're more important than my image. It's more important that you get help than that I look good. Yes, Tommy?
I've
The question is, what does the word circumspectly? It'd be, I don't know the precise definition, but it'd be like, yes, sir, carefully and watchfully, with knowing where you're walking, not just like a drunk man, or like somebody sleepwalking, not really knowing where they're going. To walk circumspectly. Okay, if you walk circumspectly, you will avoid the obstacles. Well, now I'm dreaming out of the book. See, now he knew I did not know what Ephesians 5:14 is. But when I don't even remember the dream, and the dream's not important. But the answer, now he knows the answer of my heart. How do we stop this from happening? How do we turn this around? How do we start taking the land? He said the answer is Ephesians 5:14. I think the whole church, and I think the whole nation, needs to arise, come awake, and rise from the dead. I think our whole nation is asleep. You know, the whole Christian nation is in a state of slumber. You know, but Christ in us is going to rise up, I believe. We'll take this land again for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. All right. Well, now that I've thoroughly embarrassed myself. Hallelujah. Well, I think that's it for tonight. But just plan on being in Ephesians and listen to this. I mean, what a gift to have this where you can put it on your iPod now. You can put it in your car. You can listen to it. You can read it, meditate it, but get it. And then if you got extra time, start meditating the book of Joshua, but more important, the book of Ephesians. Okay? Now, I'm going to... Yes, sir. I didn't quite get to the verse that he wanted to in Joshua. And then I'll close with this. See, that verse there that we closed, that I was reading is verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Then verse 6. Now here's exact parallel with Ephesians. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Now in his case, according to all of the law. That's all that they had. That was the light that they had to walk by. We have something more than that. We have a law written in our hearts that came with the new nature, and we have the very Spirit of the living God. We are going to be very careful and very strong to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and we are going to possess the land. You got that? In Ephesians, it says, be strong in the Lord. Well, ultimately, they had to be strong in the Lord too. It wasn't their own strength that they conquered the land. It was the power of Jehovah, the power of God, that caused them to win those victories. And it's His power that's going to cause us to win ours too. That's enough for tonight. Hallelujah. To be continued, as you can tell.